Welcome to Money Grows on Trees.
Money does grow on trees.
A podcast full of practical, real-life money lessons that you wish you learned in school. Lloyd is a former lawyer turned lifestyle entrepreneur. In each episode, he'll be answering the tough questions around money, investing, and entrepreneurship to help you transform your money mindset and move you closer to achieving your financial goals. Now, let the class begin. Here's your host, Lloyd Ross.
All right, welcome back to the show, Money Grows on Trees podcast. My name is Lloyd Ross, and I have the absolute honor of inviting one of my friends to the podcast to interview him today, which is going to be super exciting. And so I'm so pumped up for you guys to listen to this legend. So a bit about him before I introduce him. He's actually a TEDx speaker, a philanthropist. He's trained over 30,000 people in 10 countries on the art of influence, right? And we've spoken about that on the podcast, about how powerful that is to make money, okay? He's, over the last 9 years, he's worked in venture capital, started a charity, volunteered in slums, performed poetry, and he's co-founded a community of 700 entrepreneurs and shared the stage with Google and Tesla. And his mission is basically to facilitate and help people to influence through speaking, okay? And he's got a mastermind. He's actually got this amazing mastermind he's going to share with you at the very end. So stick around to the end about being a highly paid speaker. And it's none other than my friend, Navdeep Parishkar. What's up, my brother?
Hello, Lloyd. I'm feeling very blessed to be here.
It's quite a mouthful of that introduction, man. You've been a busy boy.
Yes, Navdeep Parishkar has been a busy boy.
Yeah.
Excited to share today. He's excited to share about that free masterclass. And
Yeah, dude,
feeling blessed to be here.
It's an exciting topic, man. So I want to say thanks for jumping on the podcast and giving us your time. I'm really excited about this. When you sent me the, you know, the things that you want to talk about, one of them stuck out to me, which is really getting international speaking gigs, because, you know, I talk about this in one of my books, like there's a power in speaking and generating income. It's one of the most amazing profit skills, and that's your area. So I'm excited about this episode. So Let me kick it off with this. That stuff that I spoke about, just can you just take us back a little bit and give us a bit of a summary about how that happened to you? All that stuff.
Yeah, sure. So, you know, it's really interesting. A lot of the things you would have noticed that there was quite a variety, from venture capital to poetry to working with kids from slums to running a charity and all these things. And what I found, Lloyd, was when I had all these different passions, whether it was running a youth mental health volunteering organization, whether it was helping some of the businesses that could change the world get funding, whether it was helping kids who are in poverty to break the cycle, what I found is through a lot of headache and hitting my head against the wall, that there really is a slow way to do that, a slow and painful way. Every single industry, Lloyd, has a slow and painful way. Whether that's cold calling, whether that's working in an industry for years, slogging it out after hours, whether that's door knocking, asking people for donations, or cold emailing 100 people to buy your product or your service. Make sense?
Yeah.
But every single industry has a slow and painful way. And
I've found all those ways, by the way. So yeah, I agree with you.
Dude, sell me a course, man.
I found all the most painful ways to do stuff. So I'm hearing you. I'm sure the audience.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay.
You know how it is. And, you know, that pain, sure, it leaves bruises, but it can also leave blessings.
Mm.
And one of the blessings it left me was asking, there must be a better way. And at the same time, God gave me a gift called Asperger's autism.
Interesting.
Yeah, which means that whilst my operating system didn't come with some of the apps of social norms, like understanding taboo and social etiquette and things like this, or how to socialize, I had to teach myself how to socialize.
Wow.
Yeah, really. Like,
so does that mean like you're like on the spectrum somehow?
Yes.
Like you're on the autism spectrum?
Yes.
That's amazing. You're a genius.
Thanks, bro.
Calling you Rain Man. That's amazing. So tell me, so that would have been challenging, man, to like teach yourself that stuff.
Oh, absolutely. So, you know, I remember and this ties back to your question around speaking. I remember having one friend in each school I went to, like one friend, because everybody else thought I was crazy or weird. And frankly, with enough conditioning, I thought I was the same.
Yeah. Well, I only invited you onto the podcast because you are weird. Otherwise, it would have been boring.
So. Yeah. And so what I was saying was, I learned that there's a slow way. And one of the gifts that God gave me is, whilst I didn't have the social norms of socialization, I also did not have the social norms of the limiting beliefs people have around success.
Mm.
Do I have limiting beliefs? Did I and do I? Yes, I'm human. But somehow the limiting belief of speed was not within me. Right. What do I mean by that? Yeah, I asked myself, there's got to be a way that's less painful than this cold calling, door knocking, slugging it out way. Makes sense?
Yeah, it makes sense.
And that way, what I learned was speaking.
Yeah. So when you say that, you mean like you were able to, it dawned on you that you were able to get your message out fast if you could harness the power of speaking to many instead of the individual grind of finding the hardest way to do things. Is that right?
That's right.
Cool.
And if I actually were to think about it, when you speak, it's a little bit more of a controlled environment because it's often a very one-way communication. And it's interactive, but when I had to learn how to socialize, Lloyd, if I'm being really authentic and open and vulnerable with you, buzzwords, if I'm being really raw with you, it's at the time, speaking was less scary than individual interactions.
Ah.
There's so many variables.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
So it was more control. You had more control if you were speaking to an audience than you were interacting individually because of all the variables of what can happen in an individual interaction.
Exactly.
Wow. Okay. So it was easier for you to speak than it was to even interact one-on-one.
You could say less scary.
Cool. less scary. It's still scary. Less scary.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so now I'm at a point where individual interactions are like second nature and I've learned through a lot of error. But basically for anybody listening to this, the point I'm trying to say is, one, a lot of people think public speaking is really scary, but it actually makes getting your message across and building your vision to life a lot easier. And second, it can be used in a variety of vehicles. So whether it's raising money for a business, whether it's raising money or support for a cause you care about, whether it's simply just getting your truth out in the world so that you can create a positive change in the world, speaking is the fast way. There's a lot we can talk about social dynamics and like collective consciousness and psychology as to why that is the case. But in a nutshell, Lloyd, you can take the slow slug way, which is like door knocking, grinding it out, individual conversations, like cold emails, or you can say, hey, I'm going to share my message to a group. And I didn't realize this was a profitable skill till many years later. No, really. At first, I thought it was a way to get support that was non-financial. So volunteers, makes sense. But now I know that, it's so easy to translate it into cash money results.
Yeah. So what happened to you was you liked the art and craft of public speaking to get a message across and influence people. But it wasn't until later that you realized, wow, this skill set that I happen to have is something I can generate profits from as well. I can get paid to speak.
That's right.
That's cool. When did you discover that you could get paid for this?
Yeah. I remember there was a year when I did 84 talks.
84 in a year?
In person. Yeah.
Did you get paid for any of them? Or this is when you discovered, I should probably start getting paid for this?
I got paid for maybe like 12 or 14 of them.
Okay.
12, 14, 20, something like that. You know, it's a very, very low percentage.
Okay.
And then I started asking why. And yeah, I started asking why. And that's what led to the journey, because I was getting quote unquote burnt out because the energy exchange wasn't there. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And I needed to become sustainable. So
yeah.
Even for you, you know, I've had the pleasure of seeing you speak, Lloyd, and you speak on many things. is basically a way to start a movement. If you think about Martin Luther King, if you think about Mother Teresa, if you think about Gandhi, they were all speakers. And back in that day, they got paid in a different way. You know, they had patrons, patrons who supported them. So if you're listening to this and you want to make more money, or you want to make a change in the world, or you want to make both, the fast, simple way that feels good is through speaking.
Agreed. You know what's really fascinating about that? It's also the way that most people don't want to do it because it's usually the greatest fear. But it's on the other side of that great fear. You get the maximum results for your efforts, which is what you're talking about.
Yeah.
In any approach. So you were never really, you were still afraid of public speaking, but somewhere you overcame that quite swiftly because it was more structured and controlled for you. But what is perhaps, because you've facilitated and helped a lot of people learn how to speak and get paid for it. So what would be your advice to someone who understands that the one-to-many approach is how you get your message out there faster, what you call the speedy way of doing it?
Yeah.
What would be your advice to them as to how to overcome that fear? What do you think they should do?
That's such a good question, Lloyd. I actually love talking about fear. I'm fucking obsessed with it and like how people move through it at different levels. Because I still feel fear, right?
Yeah.
Like one of my mentors literally was like metaphorically pulling me by the arms to do my first speaking gig, paid one, back when. But your question was, what would be my one tip for somebody to move through that fear? Is it okay if I share three tips?
Yeah, do three tips.
Yeah, cool. So number one is to actually allow yourself to feel the fear. Oftentimes when in the past I've been angry, I've tried to suppress that anger or suppress that sadness by compartmentalizing, which is important, right? You go to Tony Robbins and you learn how to change your state, which is really important. And on the flip side, it's about allowing yourself to be like, allowing the fear to actually flood your body, because emotion is energy in motion. So allowing it to move is really interesting. It doesn't have to be for long either, because what you realize is when you actually allow it to move, then it's gone and it leaves the space. Make sense?
Yeah.
It's very counterintuitive, something I would not have even 18 months ago been open to. So that's the first thing. Allow yourself to actually feel the fear, and that even when you allow yourself to feel the fear, it's not the end of the world. It's okay. You're still there.
So don't fight it. Don't fight it is what you're saying, right?
Exactly.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. Exactly. The second thing is often fear is like, or sometimes anxiety is a fear of something happening and what it means. So a great question to ask yourself is, if X happens, what does it mean about you? If X happens, what does it mean about you? So an example of this is, if you forget I don't memorize things, but if you have a blank on stage, what it means about you is that you're not competent in what you do, or you're not good enough to be an entrepreneur, or you're not cut out to make the change you want. See, this is the held belief. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And so with meaning like that, and you talk a lot about mindset in Money Grows on Trees, with a meaning like that, Lloyd, how could you not be scared?
Yeah. So the meaning you're attaching to your mistakes on stage, or your perceived mistakes on stage, is what creates the fear.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay.
And so becoming aware of this, asking yourself, what am I making this mean? Because it is a fear of an outcome that has not, an experience that has not happened yet. And once you can change the meaning, it helps.
Yeah.
So from a somatic point of view, and an energy point of view, feeling it, from a cognitive point of view, questioning and dissolving that belief. And then from a third point of view, something that I found that helps is, Jason Goldberg, I heard this from, is if you think about, this is one of a million speeches I'm going to give. It takes away the level of importance. You can be more detached.
Uh-huh. I love that.
Oh, I know. Yeah, this is it. One of my mentors, Cody, he shared with me, frankly, I got to a stage in my speaking career where I was bored because I did it so much. I knew how to work a crowd. It's been like 9 years at time of recording. And he was like, Deep, if you want to transcend, you have to do something every single time you speak that scares you.
Yeah, there you go. So you're always growing as a speaker, what I got from that, what you just said, was you actually ended up doing so much of it that you actually desensitized yourself to any fear that was
attacked. Yeah.
So does that mean that one of the tips that you could probably suggest would be that doing it works. Like, actually, like what you said was so good. If this is one of a million talks I'm going to give, yeah, you know, like not all of them are going to be perfect, and I have to go through the motions. So that gives you,
yeah,
gives yourself permission to be not perfect at speaking.
100%, dude.
That's really cool. Yeah, that's really cool. So, when it comes to, so if people can listen to those steps and say, well, you know, what meaning am I giving it? You know, and I'm going to practice, and not every speech is going to be my final one, and all these things. How does someone like move from, okay, I want to be a speaker, I've gone through some things and I've spoken a bit and I've made some mistakes, and but I really want to make a thing of this. How does someone go from that mindset to, I want to actually be a paid speaker and make this a career move where I can actually make profits from this
skill? Yeah, I love it, dude. It's such a great question. So my specialty is helping people get 3 to 5 paid speaking gigs in the next 30 days.
3 to 5 in 30 days.
Yeah.
That's cool. I love the measurability of that outcome. That's so awesome. So let's say it's me and you're, and if, hey, this is probably going to be in the masterclass you're going to give people, right? So I don't want to delve too deep into this, but just maybe if you can like throw a little bit of like one thing, maybe that they would do to, that would give them values to how to launch that. For those listening, now Deep is thinking. This is his thinking. This is the silence of thinking as I'm sitting here watching him think. So the podcast is still working.
Yeah. Yeah. How do I, let me put this simply. Yeah. Let me put this simply. Yeah, cool. So the key distinction or paradigm shift or way to look about it, if you want to be successful in this, even more successful in this, is this. It's stop looking at the way of resistance and start looking in the way of relationships. Stop looking in the way of resistance and start looking in the way of relationships. What does this mean? This means that, you know, a very good friend of mine got a TEDx talk, and she did a great TEDx talk, and it took her 6 months. There were interviews and application forms, and she had to send in a flipping script and like interview panels, and it literally took her 6 months, Lloyd. I'm not kidding. And that's one way to get an outcome.
Yeah.
But frankly, as much as I love her and I think she's really, really cool, like I actually have a lot of time for her, this is the way of resistance.
Yeah.
It's the way of the system of ritual of routine. Make sense?
Sure. So what you're saying is people think that this is the ritual, the process, or the path to follow to be a speaker. I must spend 6 months grinding it out to be a TEDx talker to be a speaker. Is that what you're saying?
Exactly.
Okay.
Well said, Lloyd, that you must have a book for us.
Sure.
You know, you even talk about this in Money Grows on Trees about how people think that this investment is the right way, but when you actually do the math, why your way is so much juicier. I remember that table. You know the table I'm talking about.
Yeah, table in the book. Yeah. Well, there's like what you're saying, there's ways of doing things effectively and there's ways of doing them ineffectively. And I think that's what you're saying here with the speaking. There's a more effective way of doing this. So if I don't want to go down that path and I'm saying to you like, Nav, I want to be a speaker, but I don't have a book and I don't have a TEDx talk yet. What's one thing I can do to sort of move myself forward?
Amazing. It's by building relationships with people who already have a community of your audience members.
Okay.
And when I say relationships, there are ways to position relationships where they last a minimum of 2 to 3 years.
Okay.
So Dr. Espen is one of my beloved clients. He's a speaker and he says this publicly. I only share what my clients share publicly. He's doing multi 7 figures, right?
Yep.
And he's referred me more than once. And so on and so forth is because, and he was a referral. Make sense?
Yeah. Yeah.
So you build these relationships with people who have audiences. You start with a date and then you enter a longer term relationship with them. And what happens is they will open more doors. So, you know, you've been so generous in already introducing to me to somebody. Oh my gosh, Lloyd, think about how we met, right? I met Mel. She added value to me. I like was so taken aback that I referred her to 3 people.
So Mel is my sister, she's my wife's sister, for anyone who's listening. So Mel that Nav is referring to is my sister-in-law. So she met you, gave you value.
And I became a raving fan. I was like, Mel, and I still still give out copies of her book.
There you go.
We met like maybe two years ago, last year, whatever.
Yep.
Right. I've referred her business. She referred me to you. We started Jim Jam Jam Jimming. You've referred me now to two podcasts. I've referred business to Reese, her fiance.
Yep.
And this will not be the last time. We now have a relationship, and I've been explicit with you about this, that even though the community in which we met is no longer, I'm very intentional about us maintaining a relationship for years to come, right?
Yeah, sure. Same.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so that's cool. And so when you can apply it, I'm so glad to hear, when you can apply this philosophy to people who have communities and audiences, what happens is they give you access to their audience.
Yeah.
And they give you access to other people who have audiences.
Yes.
Like how you referred me to somebody else who has a podcast.
Yeah.
And so one example is I literally, I don't know if the people watching this on video, I was literally doing this like pipeline just now. I'm going to do an 8-country tour at the end. Oh, here's the thing, guys. My 8-country tour starts in literally 30 days.
Wow. 8-country tour to speak, yeah?
Yeah.
Amazing. That's amazing. What countries are you going to?
Yeah, I'm going to Malaysia, Singapore, Mozambique, South Africa, Kenya, Tanzania, and Gabon, which is French-speaking Africa.
Wow. So when we get to the end of this episode, I'm going to ask people where they can find you and follow you on Instagram so they can watch this journey unfold, which is going to be cool to watch. So, but I just want to recap and summarize what you just said there because it's so important. It is the relationships that you can nurture or develop where someone trusts you enough with your skill set and they have an audience that could value from you and your knowledge that they'll refer you to speak to their audience, right?
Yeah.
It's like we have this relationship where we connected in an Entrepreneur Connect group and we became friends and I saw the value you give. And then we, on our last meetup, I think it was like, hey, I want to be on a podcast. I'm like, well, I have one of those and I have an amazing audience and, you know, and I think this, what you're talking about today of speaking and getting paid to speak and giving them your mastermind here at the end too, which I would love everyone to watch, is that experience where you're now speaking to my audience. And that could be, I mean, there's 100,000 downloads. That's a big audience, but we're doing it right here in Zoom world. Right. But it's the same thing. It's the same thing because it's still an audience and you're still speaking and sharing a message. Right.
Yes.
But that's how it's happened organically.
Absolutely. And so Lloyd, you mentioned that really key word organically. When I first met you, I didn't have an intention of speaking to your audience.
Yeah.
I didn't actually know you had an audience. I just thought you were cool. The first day we met in Burley, the five of us hung outside the house for like a good 20 minutes. I don't know if you remember that. But there's also an intentional way to do this. So what that means is in these 8 countries I'm speaking in, I'm doing at least 1 gig in each country. I'm not organizing the audience.
Yeah.
Other people.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
And there are a couple where I may fill my own room. This idea came to me yesterday, but they're all relationships. So whilst you and I have known each other for a year plus, and it just developed organically, there's also a way to create rapid relationships whereby even before you ever speak on their stage, they ever see a piece of content of yours, you build trust and an actual genuine connection. So that they're open to giving you sharing the first opportunity with you. And once the first opportunity has been implemented, from there, it's so easy.
There you go.
Makes sense?
Yeah, it makes sense. I mean, I think back to, it totally makes sense. You know what? Realistically, it's how all business is done. And I think that word business probably scares people. But at the end of the day, it's who are you connecting with? Who do your values align with? Who do you like? Who do you want to hang around more? And how can you add value to each other? Either through, hey, do you want to speak to my audience? Or, hey, do you want to, do you know someone who wants my product or my service? Or do you know someone who wants to meet this person? Even an introduction is value when you're coming into business, right?
Yeah.
So like with you, with that experience, I'm like, hey, like, let's say I didn't have a podcast. I knew someone that does. So I'm like, hey, my producer, Phil, you can go and talk to him. He's got a podcast. He knows lots of people with podcasts too. Or, you know, whatever it might be. So I think that can happen as well, right? Like you don't have to talk to someone and that they happen to have an audience, but they will know someone that does.
100%.
So if you have intent, so if you have intention to be a speaker and you're having this conversation with people, it's going to probably happen to you.
Yeah, dude. 100%. Yeah. I remember one of my previous clients, Morgan Nelson.
Yeah.
He's a speaker.
Yeah, he was on the podcast, the last guest on this.
What are the chances?
Yeah.
So he also registered for my masterclass, Shiki Mogi.
Okay.
So years ago, he came to me. I think I gave him his first speaking gig at a school.
I saw that. I saw footage of that. You organized that?
Yeah,
stories once.
Yeah.
Okay. Cool.
So the school was my client for many years, and I thought Morgan says it's one of his dreams to inspire young people.
Yeah.
This was even before his brand is where it is now, and so I shared the platform with him. Make sense?
Yeah.
Anyways, what I'm trying to say is, it's about sharing from that abundant place.
Sure.
And also the distinction that a lot of, that's how I organize those 84 talks.
Yeah.
In a year, which is a lot.
Yeah.
Which is really cool. There were some weeks where I remember one day when I did 3 speaking gigs, which is so cool.
Wow.
The part that was missing, that is no longer missing, and is now a part of the methodology that I mentor people in, Lloyd, is how do you have juicy relationships and also juicy revenue?
Yeah. Well, yeah, you can have both, right? The whole idea, the paradigm is both, isn't it? It's not one or the other, it's both.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So naturally, most people are stronger in one side of that equation. But now I mentor people. So I've had multiple clients pay me, like engage in $100,000 engagements with me. And I can trace them all back to the speaking gig that they were in the audience.
Uh-huh. So you develop business out of the speaking, obviously, as well. So
there's
to it. And I can, and that's how really, because you build so much trust and rapport when you're physically there with someone or they're listening. And I think that's why, you know, a lot of people that listen to my podcast, I end up working with them as well, because they get an insight into you and there's this experience of rapport and likability and trust that happens where they feel like they can work with you, right? So that happens to you too, where you actually get paid to speak, but also develop wonderful, you know, clients out of it.
100%. Somebody tells me they have an interest in share and wealth generation, I'm like, you need to talk to Lloyd Jentross. Really? My pleasure. And also with the book stuff we've talked about, we've had many conversations about that. What I want to say is, so it doesn't matter what room you're in. When you know how to position and package and enroll people into engagements, whether it's a product, a service, a coaching, whatever it might be, that generates six figures and they get a lot of value of it out of it as well, then you don't need to do a big run to the back of the room. You don't need to run these huge things which cost tons of ad money to run. You're really looking for 1 to 2 to maybe 3 people from each audience to engage with you at a very, very deep level. People think high ticket sales is like $5,000. I'm like, lol.
Like you're doing 100, like a 6-figure high ticket? Yeah. That's a consult. Yeah. Like that's more of a consulting experience, right? For that type of money.
Absolutely.
It's not like they're just buying a product for $100,000. They're buying a consulting, like working with you experience for a certain amount of time and outcomes. Yeah. So it's, would you say it's more of a consulting product or service?
Yeah, you could say that.
Yeah.
So yeah. Yes. Depending on what you're selling will depend on how I mentor you in your speaking career.
Yeah.
So if you're selling a product, like a low ticket, like under $10,000 product, there's a different approach. If you're selling like somebody I used to mentor, one of the ways she generated a lot of business for her cosmetic company, so she sold cosmetics, was through speaking.
There you go.
Software, I used to sell via speaking for a software platform, like software as a service.
Yep.
Depending on the thing that you are selling and helping people buy into, it will determine the best monetization strategy. However, regardless of the monetization strategy, the relationship strategy is always the same. I was intentional about building these relationships, and now I'll be intentional about evolving them and
nurturing the relationships and fostering them and continuing on, right? Because you, as a speaker or in business even too, you only need some good trusted like partners who have good ideas you align with that you can develop. Like I think about the last couple of times I've spoken myself, one of them is like, he's arguably my best friend, but his audience is needing what I have. And he trusts me. And he said, I want you to come and speak. And he's done that a couple of times. And with Morgan, I spoke at his Dreamfest event a couple of weeks ago. And that's the second time I've spoken with his events. And it's the same experience. It's like, if you have someone of value or have a specialized knowledge that people desire, that they're asking you about, there's a nice simple way of saying, hey, can you come and deliver this value? But what I feel like I'm hearing you say is that the world of speaking has evolved and changed, where it becomes more about just giving value and brand building and just saying, hey, here I am, I've achieved these things, and I'm just going to give you value today. The result of that being that people build likability and trustability very fast with you, and they want to do business with you if they need it, right?
Almost, dude. Almost.
Almost.
It's like so close. The key paradigm shift is that a belief that a lot of people have is that they must speak to add that value. They must speak to build that relationship. But the speaking is just the next level in that relationship for them to give you the audience. The first level is, how do you build a relationship with the decision maker within like 2 weeks so that they give you a stage?
Yeah, I suppose what I was talking about was the audience on the stage, but you're right. But totally agree. Like, if you have someone of influence who has, you know, an audience there, it's obviously that because, you correct me if I'm wrong, but like when you are placed by a third party person in front of their audience, there's this experience of like, well, if they trust you, if the audience trusts that person, I'm gonna trust this person, right?
Absolutely, dude.
Like, for example, like let's say my podcast audience listen to this, like, oh, this Navdeep guy, there's so many people out there that talk about speaking and teach this and do. Why would I listen to him? Because Lloyd trusts him and Lloyd has a friendship with him. And so you borrow that trust and belief.
From others.
Yeah, that makes
sense. Good, right?
Yeah.
And literally, it only takes three conversations, a total of 2 hours across three conversations to build this relationship where somebody is open to sharing their stage with you. Yeah. I have a conversation to like, 2.5 hours after this call, with somebody who I've already had the initial 20-minute conversation with. We're now going to enter the 60-minute conversation, and the one after that will be solidifying opportunities.
Okay. So you have this strategy for developing people of influence, and you have this ability to develop that relationship with them through a step-by-step process that it sounds like you have. Then you have the ability to deliver the value in the talk to the audience, plus you have this repertoire of I guess solutions to their problems, so that after the talk you then can actually build a consulting business on the back of it, right?
Yeah,
that's awesome, man. So I want to ask you this: the number one, I want to ask you one question, and then I want you to tell people where they can find this masterclass you have about this.
Are we done already, Lloyd? This is going so well. Yeah.
What? They're relatively short. My episodes are usually pretty short. This is one of the longer ones, but this is so interesting, right? This area, because you know how many people flipping want to speak to, what, paid to speak? It's just like this, you know. Part of it when you start is ego, but also then when you get moved past that, it's actually, this is the fastest way. Like what you said, it's not the hard grind way to actually develop your business or whatever it is you're doing, right?
Yeah.
So I think it's a massive topic, and people ask me about it a lot. So thanks again for your time on this and how you're doing it. But I want to ask you one question. If you could give anyone one tip around this whole thing that we've been talking about, what would it be?
Yeah, to play a bigger game. Not to speak a bigger game, but to play a bigger game. So a lot of people, and myself, I used to be like this as well. They say they want to be more abundant, but then when it's time to invest and like put your money where your mouth is, they weaken or run away from the opportunity. Does it make sense?
Yes.
It's the same with speaking, and some could call it self-sabotage, some could call it all patterns, but whatever it is, you're a conscious being, so you now get to choose that to play a bigger game. So
I love that. That's like this fork in the road analogy or experience where, okay, like let's say, for example, someone's listening to this, they do the mascot, they end up engaging you in some capacity or whatever, right? But you say to them, hey, listen, your time has come. I've found you a great speaking gig. Like, I'm going to refer you to this. And then what you're saying is those that want to play a bigger game, feel the fear, find the courage, lean into it, pay them up, like whatever, invest either money or whatever and go forward, or they shrink back and they take the other path that most people take, which is the path of not playing big.
100%, dude.
Yeah. It's great advice, man. That's so good. So play a bigger game, right? Like when you're given that opportunity, what does Winston Churchill say? When you're tapped on the shoulder, wouldn't it be a shame if that opportunity was there and you weren't prepared for that tap, you know?
Yeah.
So that's great advice.
Thanks, dude. That's a crazy paradox that you're never really prepared enough. You never are. There's always a voice that says you're not ready.
100%. That is like 100%. Of course. Like, oh, wait, I'm not ready. Like, you won't be. Yeah. So. God, I really feel that this is great value for people wanting to speak. Those three tips you gave us at the start were amazing. And I know you've got way more stuff. So let me ask you this. Where can people find you to connect with you? And also, how do they get hold of this masterclass you have?
Great. Great question. So the easiest way is to search me on your social media platform of choice, Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn. My name is Navdeep. That is N-A-V, like Nav and Navman. And deep, the opposite of shallow. So N-A-V, D-double-E-P, N-A-V-D-double-E-P. And once you find me, just message me the word Lloyd. Message the word Lloyd. And I'll send you a copy of the free masterclass, how to get 3 to 5 global speaking gigs in the next 30 days.
Send me a link. I'll get Phil to put in the description notes and they can just click on it. That might be easier too for them.
Yeah, I'll do that. All right. Yeah, that's totally
amazing. Cool. And I'm going to go in there too. I'm going to go check it out. Can I click on it?
You can click on it, Lloyd.
You know what's really funny before you? You know what's really funny? I forget what it was. I think Morgs referred me. He might have actually. He did. It was Brody's program. Morgs referred me into it for a quick, like, jump into Brody's. I mean, Brody on the podcast too, but it was about speaking, right? Speaking training. Yeah. So we're in this container. I was in it for a moment and there was a breakout and we went into breakout rooms on Zoom and I just ended up with you in a breakout room, just sitting there in this container. So, you know, in this industry or when you're developing networks like this, you end up just coming across each other's paths so often. So I have no doubt if I jump into your mind, I want to meet people in there. It's a wonderful way to network and meet people by doing other people's masterclasses and programs and so on, right?
100%, dude. 100%. So, yeah, just message me the word Lloyd or click on the link that will be in the show notes and I'll send you a free copy of how to get 3 to 5 speaking gigs in the next 30 days.
Oh, I love it. So good. All right. Well, Navdeep, thanks, mate. You've been a legend. Appreciate your time. And I'm so glad you could be on the potty before you become too famous to get in touch with. But, hey. Give him a follow. Go watch the masterclass. If you're someone who wants to learn how to speak and turn that into an income, what a wonderful way to do it. So, hey, thanks for jumping on here again, man. I appreciate it. And I'll talk to you soon.
My pleasure. God bless.
Thanks for joining us this week on the Money Grows on Trees podcast. If you like the show, you might want to check out our book, Money Grows on Trees, which you can find at LloydJRoss.com. Subscribe to the show on iTunes, leave a review, and feel free to reach out to Lloyd on Instagram at LloydJamesRoss.